Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. Well, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right, it is the Weekly Worldview. I am your host, Doug McBurney. Glad to be back after an extended hiatus, unplanned, unwanted, and all of that. I put up a notice last week that we were going to be off the air due to conditions that could be traced directly to the fall of man. I got a lot of interesting email requests. What exactly did you mean by that, Doug? Was it your fall? Was it somebody else's fall? Well, let me try to explain. Let me try. The Lord has blessed me and my extremely attractive audio engineer with a little rental house up in the North Metro Denver area. And we were lucky enough to have tenants there for the past 3 years who always paid their rent on time. And they seemed like the nicest folks. Late 50s, early 60s maybe, not quite grandmotherly type, but, you know, older folks, good living, paid their bills on time. But little did we know that we had rented to white trash hippie scum. We did, who destroyed our house, utterly. Folks, that's the thing about the hippies you got to be careful about, is they're old enough to be your mom and dad now. And you can, and they'll look you in the eye and they'll lie right to your face. Unbelievable what they did, folks. Unbelievable. In fact, the hippie germs were so thick, the funk and scum and filth were so thick that my extremely attractive audio engineer has succumbed to sickness and is in her sick bed right now. I am trying to run the board without my extremely attractive audio engineer. And it's difficult, but I am going to do my best. Oh, she has made an appearance. I was explaining to the people how you had succumbed to the hippie germs at the house. Yes, my extremely attractive audio engineer and I are currently covered with more hippie germs than Janis Joplin at a Jimi Hendrix concert. And I am ready to succumb to illness myself. There will be a lot of use of the cough button. Because my extremely attractive audio engineer and I have succumbed to illness related to the hippie germs, I'm sure. So the destruction was, well, the thing is, folks, there were a few things that were critical that had to be shored up immediately, or there could have been just unbelievable. So that's what happened. That's what's been happening to us for the last 2 weeks and will continue to happen to us for two more weeks as the devil, once again, via the hippie scum white trash, have turned a blessing into a curse. But you know what? We are blessed that you are listening. That's what we care about most. And we're glad that you were able to sit out the hiatus. Update, well, do we have an update on the bird whisperer? Here's the thing about being an effective bird whisperer, ladies and gentlemen. You have to know when to let go. And the bird whisperer decided to let Sprout, her domesticated sparrow, live outside. And now Sprout is out in the wild. Hopefully, we think, living here on the McBurney compound. And the bird whisperer is awaiting her next rescue. And we will keep you updated. The bird whisperer spent the past 2 weeks learning how to dig and build a 16-inch concrete footing in solid clay. So she didn't have a lot of time to whisper. And Sprout, it seems, has now gone on into the wild. Although I hear her voice sometimes, it sounds like her. Could be another sparrow. I'm no expert. But the bird whisperer knew when to let go, and she was fine with it. Grabbed that shovel, started digging that footer. Never complained. We've got great kids, I'll tell you what. But these hippie scum who rented our house, I'm not making this up, ladies and gentlemen. You know how the hippies are. They never want to disrupt their child's creative expression for fear of possibly damaging the young child's self-esteem. And so the white trash hippie scum allowed their white trash daughter, who really isn't to blame, I suppose. I suppose I shouldn't say anything negative about the child. The child can't be more than 6, 7 years old.
She's
8 years old. So the child would take used toilet paper, obviously wet it in the sink, and throw it up onto the ceiling of the child's bathroom. And there it sits to this day, which is probably why we have succumbed to illness. Oh, you've cleaned it.
Maybe that's why.
You scraped that. That's probably what made her sick. Probably what made you sick was scraping that urine soaked. It's just unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen. Just and the cigarette smoke. Now, I am not one of those anti-smoking Nazis who gives you a dirty look and does the fake cough every time you walk past someone who's lit up with a cigarette. I'm not one of those. But to smoke in the house, especially after he looked me in the eye, shook my hand, signed a contract saying he wouldn't smoke in the house. The place smelled like a South Buffalo gin mill in the 1950s. The cigarette smoke, it was just unbelievable. Yellow goo dripping down the walls when you applied the cleaner. You spray the cleaner on the wall and yellow, it's like something out of a horror movie. So we've had to engage several professionals now. We're hemorrhaging money in order to get the house back in shape. But we will get it back in shape because we're hardworking conservative people, and that's what we do. And I know that's what you are, and you want me to just get to it, right? I've got to get to some news because I know that's why you tune in, because you may have heard the news, but you've got to hear what I think about it. I'm not sure where to... You know what I think? I'll start with a story that's probably directly related to the same type of hippie white trash scum. This light pole in San Francisco has collapsed. Yeah. It crashed down on the hood of a gentleman's car, barely missing him by a foot. Police say that the base of the pole was rotted out from a combination of age, dog urine, and human urine. It literally rotted a cast iron... light pole. I can't laugh too much or I'll cough, so please forgive me. We've got a public utilities commissioner up there in San Francisco, make work job type thing. Yeah, obviously not taking care of the light poles or cleaning the hippies off the street so their urine doesn't collapse the infrastructure. But the public utilities commission spokesman. They have a spokesman in San Francisco. That's the only place a spokesman is left. Everywhere else, it's a spokesperson. And it's always a ethnically and sexually ambiguous female-ish thing. But this fella says, we encourage people and dogs alike to do their business in other places, like one of our fire hydrants, which are stronger. He actually said that. The bum should be on the fire hydrants because they're stronger. All right. Now, we have I haven't been able to watch the news much or read the news. I usually read the news online. But I did see this morning a family of 8 murdered in Houston. I use the word family loosely. I'm not sure who was married and who was cheating on who and how that all happened. But this guy handcuffed and shot 2 adults and 6 children, murdered them all, and has been arrested. Unfortunately, he was not killed. And I think it was just a year ago in the Houston area, another family of 4 or 6, just another family detonation, which is a sign of the times for sure, along with the hippies and all of that. What else? Well, we'll get to Megyn Kelly. Oh, yeah, I'm going to get to Megyn Kelly, all right. But first, since we're in San Francisco, which I believe we are, yeah, we're in San Francisco where the bum urine rotted out the base of a light pole and almost killed a fella. Well, now we come to reason number 928 to keep or get your children out of the government schools. A government history an economics teacher has announced the first of its kind LGBT studies class next fall at a San Francisco public high school. Her name is Lindsay. If indeed, if it's okay to use the feminine pronoun, perhaps that's offensive. We'll just call Lindsay it instead of he or she. It says, the overarching theme of the year is the non-dominant narrative of the American experience. And I think there's a lot going on in terms of the advancement of rights for the LGBT community. Unquote. That was Lindsay, the high school teacher there in San Francisco. The class is an elective, so students will not be forced to take it yet. And credits will count toward the San Francisco's rigorous graduation requirements. Yes. Rigorous. LGBT, that's a rigorous field of study, you know. Let's see here. This is from the San Francisco Examiner. The reporter there says, the latest effort couldn't come a moment too soon as the nation faces an LGBT crusade that in some ways mirrors the civil rights movement of the 50s and 60s. She has another quote. We're moving toward marriage equality, homos being able to adopt. We're moving towards workplace protection for sexually deviant, mentally deranged sex perverts. And when we can finally kill all the breeders and steal their children, we'll have done what we came to do. I made some of that up, but that's basically where they're headed. The sex perverts taking over. Unbelievable. Well, but that's what you get. That's what you get when the conservatives forget what it means to be conservative and the preachers in the pulpits forget what they're supposed to be preaching about. And they forgot about it a long time ago. Well, except in Kentucky, in a few patches, folks, if you look around, there are some glimmers of hope. The state of Kentucky, I'm reading, has begun imposing a religious test on volunteer pastor counselors. This is from WorldNet Daily. They report that the state of Kentucky will insist that pastors refrain from calling homosexuality sinful. And what that means is they must have had at least one preacher who was willing to do that. And that's got them all upset and all uptight about it. Because the last thing a sexually deviant, mentally ill sex pervert can deal with is someone telling them that it's sinful. They absolutely freak out. Let's see. The policy in Kentucky states that staff, volunteers, and others shall not imply or tell LGBTQI... what are I's? Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and I. It's not me. I'm not any of those. I don't know what the I is for. But it does not refer to me in any way. They say they shall not imply or tell queer juveniles that they are abnormal, deviant, or sinful, or that they can or should change their sexual orientation or gender identity. So don't try to change anything. You're born into a fallen, sinful world, and the government in Kentucky wants you to just slide on down straight to hell with it. Don't try to change a thing. So they must have found a pastor in Kentucky who had said that it was sinful. Yeah, Liberty Council is fighting legally for Christian minister David Wells, who apparently said that... homosexuality is wrong. It's a sin. And now the queers in Kentucky who run the government there, queers and lawyers, yeah, all members of the proctocracy. Hey, and it fits both of them. Both the homos and the lawyers can both be members of the proctocracy, right? Yeah, it's a broad spectrum term there. So that's what we've got going on here in America, where the state is attacking the Christians and the Christian church. But Kentucky has nothing on the Islamic State. WorldNet Daily also reports that ISIS stormed a town in the central Syrian province of Homs this past couple of weeks, took at least 230 people hostage. The number of abducted Christians could be as high as 150. The fate of the captives as we go to air today is not known. And, of course, just a few months ago, ISIS captured 250 or more Assyrian Christians, including women and children. The fate of those captives is still unclear. So it kind of makes what the state of Kentucky is doing seem almost laughable and something that we can chuckle about. But whether it's going on in Syria, out in the open, where they're chopping off the heads of Christians, or if it's going on here in America where they're just greasing the skids and getting ready so that when the time comes to start chopping off the heads of Christians, a generation will have been prepared for it. Well, we have to take it seriously, ladies and gentlemen, because we're the Christians. We're the only ones who have the answer, because we're the only ones who listen to Jesus Christ, who is, in fact, the Son of the living God. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, as I struggle for you, because I care about you, I fight off the hippie fever and get to it. Yeah, it's the wreck is going down. Get out before you drown. Indeed. More appropriate words have rarely been spoken. I Am Kate is a new show on a cable channel. The New York Post reports that it's an unwatchable mess. Now, this is no doubt some homo movie reviewer, because they're all homos, except I think the only confirmed heterosexual movie reviewer is Michael Medved, and he's unlistenable for a variety of other reasons. It's not just being a homo. I mean, he's just a lousy talk show host and a liberal, for crying out loud. Yeah. So, but he's the only confirmed heterosexual movie reviewer. But even the homo at the New York Post says that TV's great transgender hope, I Am Kate, might actually be a dud on arrival. Yes. There are makeup shots, seemingly endless glasses of champagne, and it's all Kate all the time. I Am Kate is delivered as TV with a message. But beyond the sheer confusion of it all, I Am Kate suffers from a boring chief protagonist whose minority status does not a personality make. I'm sorry, sweetheart. Yeah. Instead of preaching, albeit nobly, about how she and her sister seek to live, Kate should simply just live. And not as an officially sanctioned trans person, but simply as a person, Kate, says the no-doubt homosexual movie reviewer over the New York. Well, that's the thing that this movie reviewer doesn't understand. They can't just live simply as a person. They have to identify themselves with their deviancy, with their perversion, with their sin. And they identify themselves proudly with it. It's the central theme of their entire life. Unlike heterosexuals, sexuality is not there. The first thing, it's not how we identify ourselves. It just goes without saying, because we're normal. But when you're abnormal and you insist that nobody can tell you different and that you are correct, well, then you start identifying yourself as, well, all of the above. Garden variety, sodomite, you name it. Anyway, I believe this is evidence that homosexuality, transgenderism especially, are mental illnesses, because it's irrational for Bruce Jenner or anyone else to identify themselves with the process of mutilating their own body in rebellion against the God who made them. It's just a mental illness, that's all. And it's one of the worst kind. I have not tuned in. I was asking my extremely attractive audio engineer, have you tuned in and caught a episode of I Am Kate yet? She nodded. She shook her head no, but she's only half awake, because she has succumbed to the hippie fever that was left in the filth. Ladies and gentlemen, there was a quarter inch of black and brown filth on the bathroom floor, every bathroom floor. The only things in the house that seemed lightly used were the refrigerator and the showers. Yeah, the refrigerator and the showers got light duty. Everything else, these hippies rode rode hard and put up wet. I'm telling you, these people beat our house. All right, I'm going to try to get past that, ladies and gentlemen, and move on to more mental illness, this time at the executive offices of Target and amongst their shoppers. You know Target, the big box store. Is Target a big box store? It's a department store. We're all familiar with Target. Well, they are removing gender labels from their children's department after customers complained about signs designated certain things for girls and certain things for boys. So who is walking through Target trolling to be offended by signs that indicate male or female? Well, I think we'll get to that. Obviously, a mentally deranged sex pervert activist trolling through Target, just waiting to be offended. Now, listen to how outrageous Target's behavior was, ladies and gentlemen. The kids' bedding section used to feature boy and girl signage for boys and girls' bedroom sets. Outrageous. The toy department, now hold on to your hat if you can believe this, they had pink or blue paper on the shelves indicating whether the toys were for boys or girls. Shocking. Yes. Now, Target has said that gender labels, for the time being at least, will remain. It will remain in the kids' clothing sections because there are sizing and fit differences between the genders and anyway. So for the moment, they're going to keep the gender labels in the clothing section, but the mentally deranged activist trolling through Target looking to be offended. Now they've gotten together. They're led by an Ohio mom named Abby Bachtel. Now, is it okay to call her a mom? Doesn't that indicate that she's female? I can't even say she, can I? I guess the only thing I can say about Abby is that she's from Ohio. That won't offend her. Because if I say she's going to say I'm designating a gender, and that's typical masculine. Yeah. Anyway, well, she's gotten together with a bunch of other people, and they're putting pressure on Target. Let's see. She posted photos of the girls' building sets and next to regular building sets, and she's all offended. She says, quote, "Well, you know, it stood out to me as a good example of the way our culture tends to view boys and men as the default, the normal option, and girls and women as the specialized option." Unquote. That was Abby, a sexually ambiguous Ohio person who has children, a parent. The article called her a mom, but I'm sure she's already protested that, and that'll be taken down. This was from Bloomberg News, by the way. They'll get theirs, too. So anyway, she's got an army of other mentally deranged idiots, stupid people, as Donald Trump would say. Stupid. That's why I think he's popular, because he's willing to say people are stupid and incompetent and all of that. But now she's got her group together. They're all putting pressure on CNN. I'm sorry, Target, to remove the gender labels. And when one of her associates, likely a homosexual male, found out that the gender labels will remain in the kids' clothing section, he was quoted as saying, "This means war. No labels in the kids' section. Kids' clothing? This means war." He was quoted. At which point, my extremely attractive audio engineer would have laughed, except for the fact that she's deathly ill and barely awake at this moment. So bear with me, because I'm going to try to put on a show that's good enough to break through the fog of the hippie fever that she caught up at the filth house that we've been referring to as paradise lately, just to try to get through it. I'm going to try to do a show good enough that by the end of the show, my extremely attractive audio engineer will actually wake up and maybe even laugh at some of my jokes. But we'll just see about that. We'll see if it can be done. Let's go to Tom Brady. Now, I know this is a little dated, but I had to take a week off because of the hippie damage to the house. So Tom Brady insists he did nothing wrong. In fact, the quote at the headline I got from Boston.com, Tom Brady, quote, "I did nothing wrong." Now, the thing is the NFL has released that he, in fact, destroyed his cell phone. He says he did nothing wrong. Well, then why'd you destroy your phone, Tom? He says, well, hear me out here. He says, I replaced my broken Samsung phone with a new iPhone after my attorneys made it clear to the NFL that my phone would not be subject to investigation under any circumstances. So you see, folks, boys and girls, I had already told the NFL they couldn't look at my phone before I destroyed it. So I did nothing wrong, says Tom Brady. Made it clear he would not give up his phone for inspection before he destroyed it, and the youth of America is supposed to believe that he did nothing. And I say the youth of America because what Tom Brady says is meaningless to adult people. It's meaningless. He's an empty suit. He's a vacuous airhead who throws a football. He has nothing of import to offer to society. So we don't care. But the thing is he influences young people. What he says matters to young people who are still developing ethics and morals and all that. And Tom Brady did do something wrong. He lied and he cheated. And it's even worse to stand up after you've lied and cheated and insist you did nothing wrong. Tom, you're a bad example. You should be flogged, in my opinion. All right. On the other hand, ladies and gentlemen, the anti-Tom Brady, the Annie Brady. I may have coined a term. It's a new chemical compound. The Annie Brady, or it's a personality type. Annie Brady, A-N-T-I-B-R-A-D-Y. Annie Brady, yes, write that down. We have an interview from CBS in Philadelphia with a linebacker for a football team called the Philadelphia Eagles. It's a team I was not aware of. Since I have unplugged from football for about 2 years, I wasn't even aware that Philadelphia still had a team. But they did, and I found out about them because they drafted Tim Tebow. Well, Eagles linebacker Brandon Graham, a fine young man, by the way, says, quote, Tim Tebow is going to shock a lot of people because... I'm just going to let it play this time. I'm going to roll with it. I think we'll just let it play. No, don't cut. Just let it play right to the end. Because it's true. That's right. We all know that Tim Tebow, not Brock Osweiler, should be the backup quarterback behind that broken-down old geezer, who I love. Don't get me wrong. He's a great guy. I forget his name, but whoever the Broncos quarterback is, wow, my extremely attractive audio engineer has returned to life. Forgive the coughing in the background, ladies and gentlemen. It's not her fault. I took advantage of that musical interlude to clear all the phlegm and snot and viruses and bacteria and germs that we picked up at that hippie hellhole today. But my extremely attractive audio engineer was working. So please forgive her. She's back to life. And a little dose of Tim Tebow will do that. Now, Tim Tebow being the Annie Brady because Tim Tebow says things that do matter to adults and real people, people who've already developed a moral and ethical worldview. Why? Because Tim Tebow quotes Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is the one whose words matter the most. I read Tim Tebow's book, and to be honest with you, if Tim Tebow weren't quoting Jesus Christ, I'm sure I wouldn't be very impressed with him, because his book was just very hard to read, because he's a good football player, a writer, his ghostwriter, Anyway, I couldn't finish the book, but I love this guy because he quotes the original thought of the original one, the one of old, the one of renown, the legendary one, Jesus Christ. So that's why Tim Tebow matters. Now, Brandon Graham is a linebacker for the Eagles. He is expected to start at linebacker for the first time in his career this season, and we hope he has a fine season behind the Tim Tebow and the entire Philadelphia team, who we hope within just a year or two or three will win the Super Bowl. That's what we hope, and I hope he's still on the team. That's all. I've been so unplugged from football, I just don't know from anybody. But we appreciate that prediction from the linebacker, Brandon Graham. I believe the linebacker is it's either a defensive or an offensive position, if I'm not mistaken. It's one of those two. Yeah. So I believe because my extremely attractive audio engineer inserted that unexpected musical interlude that we missed a break. Yeah, we missed a break. But we're just going to count that as the break. How about that? That saves the people who can't stand the music we play, and I hear about that all the time. There's people who just can't stand it. That saves them from one more break. All right, let's go to the justice file, ladies and gentlemen. James Holmes, the Aurora Theater killer, has been spared the death penalty for the moment. Now, he's going to get it, okay? He's going to get it. But only in the sense that we all going to get it, okay? But the jury in Centennial, Colorado, where marijuana is legal, could not reach a unanimous decision to execute a man who shot 50 people, killing 13. They couldn't figure it out. By the way, marijuana is legal in Colorado. All right. He now faces life. Yep. He'll be educated, medicated, kept warm in the winter, cool in the summer. He'll get his vitamins. The New York Daily News reporting that one juror absolutely would not move on the death penalty. 9 favored capital punishment. 2 were just morons and weren't sure. He shot 50 people. He killed 13 people in a movie theater. And they couldn't say, well, we're just not sure. If you're that mentally ill, I'm sorry. It's like a mad dog. You put it down, right? Please. The district attorney, though, the district attorney, George, somebody, says, quote, I think death is justice for what that guy did, but the system said otherwise. I honor that, and I'll respect the outcome, said a member of the proctocracy, George Brockler. So the district attorney is a lying hypocrite, which is not unusual, being a lawyer. But if you disagree with a decision or a position, it's completely hypocritical to say, I honor it and I respect it. You just said you disagree. That's the opposite of honor. Okay? I mean, I'm not expecting you to break into the jailhouse and kill James Holmes, like should happen. I mean that he should be killed. I don't expect the DA to do that, but do you have to say you honor it and you respect it? Can't you stand up and say these people are stupid on this jury? This guy gunned down 50 people, killing 13 of them, and these morons on the jury couldn't figure out what to do. See, the district attorney in Centennial, Colorado, has not gotten the memo yet that the sterile environment that we've all been convinced we have to operate in, this politically correct environment where you can't say what you feel, or you might lose your career, or people might hate you. Well, that's all been shown to be a farce by the Donald Trump candidacy. Stand up and say what you want. Say what you believe and stand by it and don't back down. And people end up at the end of the day actually having more respect for you than they did before you opened your mouth. But the district attorney hasn't gotten it yet. He says he should have got death, but I'll respect the fact that he didn't. In fact, I honor it, he said, as his shoulders sloped just a little bit more and his spine just jellified just a little bit more. Folks, this trial lasted 65 days. for a guy who was caught with everyone's blood on him behind the theater and immediately said he did it. 65-day trial. You know, the proctocracy says that, well, we have to give him a fair trial and we have to go through every piece of evidence. Folks, they're just ginning up a very lucrative living off this trial. Do you know how many lawyers made how many tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars processing this piece of garbage through the proctocracy that we call a just a system? It's tens of thousands of dollars, nice meals, big salads, bottles of wine on the backs of the taxpayers processing a guy who should have been shot within approximately 3 days of his confession. He should have been executed judicially. All right, now, so that was the justice file coming out of the sports stuff, the Tom Brady corrupting the minds of young people by standing up in front of God and everyone and saying, I didn't do anything wrong, when he obviously did something wrong. Why does it matter? Well, because young people are still developing their sense of morals and ethics, and they're impressionable. I know I sound like an old fuddy-duddy, but it happens to be true. Young kids are impressionable, okay? And Tom Brady has just further blurred the line between what's right and wrong and what's honorable and who should be honored and who should be vilified. Tom Brady should be vilified. He should be run out of the NFL. His name should be blotted out when it comes time to vote into the Hall of Fame, because not because of what he did when he cheated, but that he cheated and that he would not repent and admit that he had done something wrong and ask for forgiveness. That's what children need to be taught, and that's not what Tom Brady is teaching them. And here's what the kids, what's up with the kids in America? That's a song from the 80s, a one-hit wonder band. Where are the kids in America? Well, in Akron, Ohio, police are investigating the ransacking of a Circle K that was taken over in a so-called mob and rob attack. These are becoming more popular. A mob of young people entered the gas station, started to destroy and steal property. A woman called 911 and said, people are running around in the parking lot like wild children, she said on the 911 call, because that's what they are, wild children. Second, third, fourth generation, completely unmoored from anything relating to godliness. Completely disconnected from anything relating, anything resembling a functioning, intact family. Third and fourth generation, folks. These are the children who no longer know right from wrong, and this is why I'm afraid that this, our society is going to devolve into the Russian front. You know the Russian front in World War II? It was so vicious and brutal and horrible because there were no good guys on either side. You had the Russians and against the Nazis. And what I'm afraid we're going to end up with here in America in relatively short order, if something doesn't change dramatically, is that the young people are going to be divided into two camps. Maybe it won't be the communists and the Nazis this time. Maybe it'll be the so-called fiscal conservatives against the socialists, the full-throated communists. Maybe it'll be Fox News and the children they raised against CNN and the children they raised. And it'll be horrible what they do to each other. Absolutely horrible. Oh, it couldn't happen in America, Doug. America could never degenerate into civil war. Are you kidding? No, that's never happened before. Anyway, I think that our obligation as the normal people, the Christian people, is to keep our chin up and hang in there, preach the gospel in season and out of season, and hope that some of us are still here to save these people from themselves when they collapse into rebellion, violence, and bloodshed. Because if we don't keep the civilization, if we don't keep it, well, then a nation that was birthed out of rebellion, bloodshed, and violence will ignominiously dissolve into rebellion, bloodshed, and violence. And it will be ugly and horrible. And it could be my kids' generation. It could be their kids' generation. It's very scary how fast, if you read the Bible or many other history sources, it's very scary how fast a civilization crumbles once that first generation is gone. It's amazing. It can happen in one generation. In literally a 40-year span, a country can go from order to utter disorder, and I'm afraid that's what I'm seeing before my very eyes. And one of the reasons I know that this is happening is because of this whole Planned Parenthood video debacle. Just unbelievable. The fact that there are not tens of thousands of people marching on Planned Parenthood tells me that there's very little hope. I pulled this article down from vocative.com. It's a liberal website. They try to defend fetal tissue research. They say fetal tissue, it's used for legitimate scientific research. Yeah, you know, even the New York Times says it's important fetal tissue research. And by the way, they criticize those undercover videos. Yes, indeed, because this is important research. You remember, we were going to treat everything from, diabetes to Parkinson's. It was hoped that we could implant the fetal tissue into the brain, and, none of that worked out, I suppose. But it's very important work, yes. Adult stem cells, they've come along, and, you know, that's most of the money now goes to adult stem cell research. But Vocative goes on to say that fetal tissue is, and now it's more of a niche kind of thing. A niche. Yes, you know, niche. Yeah, we only need it for very few specialized things, but it's extremely important that we have it. The donated tissue is distributed from clinics to researchers by brokers, and of course the brokers have to keep their heads low because, they don't want to get in trouble. They don't want to have people demonstrating at their houses. Yeah. And, of course, the tissue is only given to researchers at a fee just to cover the costs, and there's no profit here, no. By the way, one of the abortionists in the video, the most recent video or maybe the third video or the fourth, anyway, an abortionist here in Denver, she actually experienced what the nervous person here at Vocative, who was going on for quite some time, about 50 people showed up at her house this afternoon. After church let out, about 50 people showed up at her house and warned her that what she is doing is evil and sinful, and that if she doesn't repent, God is going to kill her. Yeah, right at her house. Now that tells you that there is some hope, but that's the Christians trying to preserve the civilization so that the heathens don't totally destroy it. Let's see. Do we have anything else from the very nervous young man over at Vocative? Scientists, they do important things. They put the tissue through airport security systems, right? Yes, so we can see whether it's safe for pregnant women, right? Because we want to help pregnant women. That's what this is all about. We also expose the tissue to any number of chemicals to determine the risks of those chemicals. That they could pose to developing pregnancies, because we love to help pregnant women and babies. That's what it's all about. It's very important research. As America watches the abortionist pick through a petri dish and separate the arms and the legs, and you hear in the background, it's another boy. This demon at Vocative actually has the audacity to still use the term tissue. Why couldn't he say livers and kidneys and hearts and brains and legs and arms? Because we all saw that on the video. But he says tissue because he's a very nervous young man. Because he's going to meet the living God. And when it happens, it ain't going to be pretty. Okay? Let me just put it that way. So here's an example of the important research for which medical personnel, mothers and fathers, are sacrificing the bodies of murdered innocent babies. Okay, here's what an entire human organism been grown in an animal and sustained the life of that animal. In a new study, researchers obtained human fetal kidneys from Stem Express, the same company that was involved in the videos. Stem Express supplies researchers with tissue from deceased adults and fetuses. They slipped that in there at the end. And Live Science, which is the website where I got this, livescience.com, the reporter goes on to say the people who donated the fetal tissue gave consent for the kidney to be used. Really? How could a fetus give consent for his or her kidney to be used. Actually, the person, the people who killed that innocent boy or girl, they're the ones who consented to give away the body parts of that murdered boy or girl. Why is this research so important? Well, let's see here. Why is this so important? Use of human therapeutic abortion procedures. To save the baby with a fatal... Oh, it's to save babies! That's why it's so important. That's right. There's a major shortage of children's organs, and if... There's a shortage of children's organs, and if we could learn to grow them in rats, then we can save babies. Why are we killing and eating babies? Why, of course. It's to save babies! Shake your hand! And the whole time, ladies and gentlemen, the whole time that these Planned Parenthood videos of doctors chopping up babies, let that sink in. We've got video of them chopping up babies. While this is going on, the entire world is in shock over the killing of Cecil, the lion. Let's see, where is Cecil? Over in Africa, right? And listen, folks, I'm not for whoever this guy is who shot this the lion. He's probably a jerk. I don't know. I probably wouldn't hang out with the guy. But for the whole world to convulse over a lion while we have pictures of doctors chopping up babies, it's just an indication of what dark times we are living in. And I don't think it was a conspiracy to release the Cecil story to draw attention away from the Planned Parenthood expose. I don't think it was a conspiracy. I think that's just the way people feel. The vast majority of people in America have been involved in abortion, and they don't want to admit they were wrong, and they don't want to hear about it. They don't want to talk about it. But you have somebody shoot a lion, and they'll convulse in tears. Like Jimmy Kimmel on his show broke into tears. They say he lost his composure temporarily and choked up on the air. He almost came to tears as he was trying to raise money to help the people who track the lions in Africa. Jimmy Kimmel. All right. Obviously, either some type of medication he's on, right? He's crying over a lion. But listen to this. Jimmy, do you people remember where Jimmy Kimmel came from? This is the lowest form of crotch humorist ever to weasel his way into an entertainment career. This guy just told dirty jokes at a seventh grade level. That's how he broke into the business. Another indication that we're living in relatively dark times. Jimmy Kimmel is, here's a guy, I'm telling you, I remember this guy. He is as responsible for the modern hookup culture among the youth as anyone alive. He is as responsible for the jokes he told and the things he made young people think were acceptable to laugh about. And he has never shed a tear for the destruction of lives and psyches, and the destruction of children and families that he's been a part of and has witnessed himself. He has never shed a tear for what damage he has inflicted on the body politic. But look at the lion. The lion makes Jimmy Kimmel cry. And everybody looks away from the doctors at Planned Parenthood who are chopping up babies in order to save babies. That's, I go back to the hippie days. You remember they made fun of the general who said we had to destroy the village in order to save it? Well, they mocked and ridiculed that general, yet they're going to swallow this whole. Well, the reason we're butchering these children, chopping them up, and sending their parts hither and nigh is so that we can do research to help mothers and babies. And they'll swallow it whole. All right. Let's move into the politics file. Actually, this is the personhood file. The politics and personhood file have melded. This week, if you watched the Republican debate, which I did not, moderator Chris Wallace asked Mike Huckabee, how would you cajole Democrats and independents into voting for you, Mr. Huckabee? which is the stupidest question ever asked to any Republican candidate ever by anyone. And that's because Chris Wallace is a stupid person, and he's a liberal, and he's a lousy journalist. Chris Wallace, by the way, 15 years ago on ABC, it was Chris Wallace who broke the story about Planned Parenthood selling body parts. We had video, we had interviews, we had documented evidence. But Chris Wallace didn't care. That was just part of his building his career ladder. So Chris Wallace asks Huck, how are you going to get Democrats to vote for you? Huckabee's response, quote, a lot of people are talking about defunding Planned Parenthood as if that's a huge game changer. I think it's time to do something even more bold. I think the next president ought to invoke the 5th and 14th Amendments to the Constitution now that we clearly know that that baby inside the mother's womb is a person at the moment of conception. All right. So listen, Mike, we appreciate it. I am now officially on Mike Huckabee's bandwagon. And I know I'm cynical. He could just be saying it, whatever. The fact that he said it means that all the other stuff that I disagree with him about, big government, government education, welfare, socialism, all that, he's kind of a big government progressive Republican. And I disagree with all that. But all that is money and politics. And money and politics I'm willing to negotiate on. But the killing of innocent people is not negotiable. For anyone to be a leader of any people or any nation, the first responsibility he has is to guarantee the inalienable rights of the innocent, especially the innocent who can't defend themselves. And Mike Huckabee said that the next president should invoke the 5th and 14th Amendments to the Constitution. And so I think Mike Huckabee, by the way, I believe was challenged to say this in front of a live audience and not just to donors. I believe he was challenged to do that, and Mike Huckabee did it. And I believe that if he becomes president, that the people who put him there will hold his feet to the fire, I hope. So I appreciate Mike Huckabee doing that. I am on his bandwagon, even though I don't like the guy very much. At least he has the fundamental base qualification to be a human being. He's against killing innocent people. That makes him better than all the other politicians. Can you believe that, how far we've sunk? It's like the one politician, well, he's against stomping on puppies, so I got to support him. He's better than everybody. This one, he's against killing innocent babies and chopping them up. Wow, what a great guy. On the other hand, he's sort of a socialist, and he believes the government should educate your children, and he's kind of a stupid person in most other respects. But at least he won't kill innocent people, so, I mean, there you have it. I got to support Huckabee. All right. By the way, the rest of this article from the Business Insider talks about, does life begin at conception? You know, they question it, of course, because they're a bunch of baby-killing heathen scum. And they say, let's examine his comments about a person becoming a person at conception. Twins. What about twins? Twins who develop from just one fertilized egg that splits into two has complicated the argument that life begins at conception for decades. We just don't know. What was there? Was there two souls in there? Did they have half a soul? Did one soul come later? Maybe it comes later. So let's kill it. Right? We're not sure exactly what the mechanism of exactly when. It's possible it's happened at the very first minute. Maybe it's 7 minutes. Maybe it's days. Let's kill it. Folks, if I'm not sure and I haven't figured it all out, I say, well, let's not kill it. Okay? That's all. And by the way, obviously the reason there's twins is because there were two souls and God knew it. And so he built a mechanism in so they could have two bodies. Now we're in a broken, fallen world, so that's become less than optimal. And there are defects and problems, and we know all that. But just because we haven't figured out the exact scientific mechanism does not give us the right to step in and say that it's okay to kill anyone. All right. Anyway, so I'm on Mike Huckabee's bandwagon, reluctantly, but at least he's against stomping on puppies, so must be a great guy. All right. On the other hand, Mitch McConnell and John Cornyn are not. They are not good guys. They pushed forward a voice vote to fund Planned Parenthood and to protect Barry Ho's nuclear madness with the mad mullahs in Iran. Unbelievable. So those of you who may not be politically astute, a voice vote means that there's no accountability. There's no record of who voted yes and who voted no. And McConnell and this other bastard, Cornyn, they shoved it through. The dark of night on a voice vote, they gave Planned Parenthood all their money. While the videos were playing, while Americans were watching a doctor pick through the arms and legs in a Petri dish, Mitch McConnell and John Cornyn and the Republican Senate leadership and the Republican establishment pushed through Planned Parenthood's money so they could chop up more babies and destroy more lives through abortion and lies to young women. So Mitch McConnell, John Cornyn, you get fitted for your jet rockets on Judgment Day when God straps the jet rockets on you and lines you up against that grease pole, because you're going to get just what you deserve. I'll be there to watch it. And here, join them. Here is Krauthammer. What's his name? Charles Krauthammer. Charles Krauthammer's disabled. He's in a wheelchair. And he said last week in regards to the Planned Parenthood expose, he said, there's a difference between a person in a wheelchair and an able-bodied person. And there's an honest division of opinion whether or not personhood should go to someone in a wheelchair. When and others, they believe that personhood's a gradual process, and if you're in a wheelchair, you probably don't rate personhood. Oh, yeah, this was in regards to Mr. Huckabee's comments. Krauthammer says Huckabee was wrong. Life doesn't begin at conception, because Krauthammer wasn't talking about people in a wheelchair here. He was talking about unborn children. Because when it comes to people in a wheelchair, Charles Krauthammer has a completely different opinion. Yeah. In fact, Charles Krauthammer has long been a supporter of stem cell research, according to the DailySignal.com. Because if Charles Krauthammer, I believe if Charles Krauthammer could eat babies and get out of that wheelchair, he'd eat them. He'd kill them, cook them, and eat them if he had to. And here's what he says about them. The people he wants to experiment on so that he might walk again someday. Krauthammer says, well, if personhood begins at conception, then why don't we have a funeral at a miscarriage? Wow. Krauthammer, I don't know if this bastard has kids, but for him to say that and not understand the pain and the suffering that fathers and mothers experience from a miscarriage is just highly insensitive, to say the least. Krauthammer goes on about the people who he wants to experiment on so that he might be able to walk again. He says there are legitimate arguments that the very early embryo is not to enjoy the kind of protections that a 9-month-old fetus, or certainly a child, does. You're working with a small clump of cells and deciding whether you should derive some stem cells. A clump of cells, Mr. Krauthammer. We all saw it with our own eyes in the video, the arm, the leg. The person in the background who said it's another boy. Is a clump of cells a boy, Mr. Krauthammer? You evil, dark-hearted, black-hearted, cold, evil son of a... I'll tell you what, I want to be there on Judgment Day. And I'm going to remind God that Charles Krauthammer said this while he's strapping on the jet rockets and while he's greasing up the pole. And I will give Mr. Krauthammer a shove out of his wheelchair down that pole, straight to hell with jet rockets. All right. I told you I'd get to Megyn Kelly. I'm almost out of time. That's appropriate because she's worth very little time. She said that Donald Trump, she said, quote, "If Donald Trump can't get past me, how is he going to get past Vladimir Putin?" To which I say, Megyn, Donald Trump did get past you. Just hike up your skirt and flare your nostrils and read your lines for Mr. Ailes. You're pathetic. He called Megyn Kelly highly overrated. Well, you can't say that. You might destroy your candidacy. Yeah, that's what Frank Luntz said. Frank Luntz declared that Trump had destroyed his candidacy after the debate, to which Mr. Trump replied, Frank Luntz, yeah, I know him. He's a low-class slob. He came to my office begging for polling work. I had zero interest. I like it. All right. He also claimed that the reason it was the most highly rated nonfiction cable television show of all time was because he was on it, not because Megyn Kelly was on there hiking her skirt up. And you know what happened at that debate? It's now indisputable that Fox News is just a bunch of liberals. They're just a bunch of liberals feigning conservatism for ratings and getting the transgendered and the Megyn Kelly types to get in there and hike up their skirts and show some leg and, you know, give us a little bit of different slant on the news. But Fox News, they'll be one side of the Russian front, you see. There'll be the Fox News, and then there'll be the generation Fox News raised, and then the generation that CNN raised. And Lord willing, there'll be some of us Christians around to save these insane, mentally deranged, ignorant, stupid children from each other and from themselves. Hopefully we'll be here to do that because they're going to need us. So keep your chin up and hang in there, folks, and don't give up, all right? Now, speaking of stupid people, I said, now Donald Trump has made it okay to call people stupid again. And so this is the stupid people file. It's a new file initiated by the Trump campaign. The Environmental Protection Agency has spilled metals polluted water into the Animas River in Colorado. The spill occurred when one of its teams was using heavy equipment to enter the Gold King mine. Now, this was an old abandoned mine that was just sitting there with contaminated water inside. So what did the stupid morons at the EPA decide to do? Let's punch holes in the mine so we can go in and treat the water. Well, guess what? The team accidentally caused the poison water to flow into the nearby Animas River. Before the spill, the metal polluted water was flowing into a holding area outside the mine. But the EPA couldn't wait for God to clean it up. No, they had to go clean it up themselves. Yeah, now folks, God has built in a cleanup, nice cleanup mechanisms in the earth. Have you been to the Bikini Atoll lately? The Bikini Atoll is where we detonated the hydrogen bomb. And supposedly nothing would live there for a million years after. Now it looks like an ocean paradise. Birds and fish. If they would just leave the mine alone, it would clean itself. God made the world very effective. But the EPA, they don't believe in God. And they have to have the make-work project so that their stupid, moronic son-in-law and his brother-in-law and their illegitimate cousin, they can all get jobs working for the EPA. And by the way, this happened in Colorado where marijuana is legal. And they happened to punch a hole in the mine, and all the poison leaked into the river. And when asked if the spill could affect drinking water, the EPA spokesperson said, you know, dude, I just don't know yet, man. But we're hoping to find out. Because that's bad, dude. All right. So there you go. It's okay to call people stupid again. You won't lose your career. People won't hate you. And you might even end up in the White House. You just never know how things are going to go. But we're throwing our support behind Mike Huckabee this week. And hopefully he'll get to Donald Trump because if someone could convince Donald Trump that personhood was good for him, I think Trump would do it too. Because they're all just a bunch of politicians. They're useful idiots. And we should learn how to use them more effectively. Well, that's it for this week, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com. At Denver Bible Church, and at American Right to Life, and of course, my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen, here in the Weekly Worldview Studios, not to mention my extremely attractive audio engineer, who's somewhat come back to life, somewhat, although she's on the nod a little bit. Ladies and gentlemen, Should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.